The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app.
I'll tell a tale, 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 yeah. Of Maccabees in Israel, L, 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 yeah. When the Greeks tried to assail, sail, 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 yeah. But it was all to no avail, veil, 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 yeah, yeah. The war went on and on and on until the mighty Greeks were gone, yeah.
I'll put my lockers in the air sometime.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. Happy Hanukkah. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got an awesome show for you today. Did I tell you it was Hanukkah? I love Hanukkah. What's the best thing about Hanukkah? Of course, is eating. What else? You know, hey. But so in honor of Hanukkah, we have a rebroadcast of an interview with noted and acclaimed cookbook author Joan Nathan. She's a chef. Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous was an awesome book, and we're going to be talking about that because, after all, it's food. We'll have awesome Hanukkah music of various and eclectic kinds. I will not, let me repeat, I will not be playing I Have a Little Dreidel. So, but we have stuff that you just won't believe this week. And we get two Sundays this Hanukkah. So this is the Sunday show, Hanukkah part one. And next week will be Sunday Hanukkah show part two. And there's plenty of stuff what to talk about. In the second half hour, we'll be talking about the insights into Hanukkah and a really awesome Hanukkah story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A terrorist was shot and killed in Samaria as he attacked a Shin Bet agent with an axe. According to initial details, the terrorist rammed his vehicle into an IDF jeep, which overturned. Four Shin Bet men who were in the jeep suffered slight injuries. A briefcase loaded with explosives was found under a bridge on the Trans-Israel Toll Road near Netanya. A police bomb squad neutralized the bomb. This is really concerning now. Several F-16 fighter jet engines were stolen from an Israeli Air Force base. Most likely it was inside job, as there was no damage to the base's fence, and the engines weigh 1.5 tons and more than 15 feet long. You just don't put these things under your coat. No suspects have been arrested yet in the theft. 1,600 new apartments in southern Jerusalem are finally going to be built. The permits for the apartments were issued in 2010 as Vice President Joe Biden was in Israel. You may remember that. 34 parties have submitted lists to run for seats in the upcoming elections in Israel on January 20th. Could you imagine if you had 34 choices for president? Wow, that would almost be awesome. But the Likud Beitenu party, the newly formed coalition, is most likely to receive the most members of Knesset. And the way it works over there in Israel is you don't vote for a candidate, you vote for a party. And the most people in the party then choose the prime minister. Guards at a Samaria checkpoint found 9 Palestinian Authority Arabs hidden in a truck trying to Israel illegally to look for work. The men were arrested and taken in for questioning. Israel has increased the number of work permits to the PA. Ahmed Farhani, 27 years old, an Algerian immigrant living in New York, entered a guilty plea in New York State Supreme Court and is for planning on blowing up synagogues in the New York area. It is the first conviction under a state terror statute that went into effect following the 9/11 attacks. Farhani likely will be sentenced to 10 years in prison and face deportation after serving his term. A series of amendments that would severely penalize the Palestinian Authority for its recent unilateral UN bid was struck down by the Senate. The amendments to the National Defense Authorization Act were removed before a vote could take place. In other news, Jerusalem-based Teva Pharmaceuticals and U.S.-based Galena Biopharma are set to begin major clinical trials of a breast cancer treatment that holds promise of developing a vaccination against several varieties of the disease. Clinical trials are being held in 4 places in Israel. News to think about. Converted spy for Israel Jonathan Pollard was undergoing observation in a hospital after collapsing in his jail cell. Pollard collapsed December 1st at the Federal Correction Institute in Butner, North Carolina, after complaining of serious pain for several weeks. Giant menorah displays in Boston, Miami, and Westbury, Long Island were vandalized over the weekend. Damage was temporary, and the menorahs are fully functional for the holiday. Public menorah lightings in the Detroit area will be Monday night on Wayne State University at 7 p.m., Tuesday at Orchard Lake Mall at 6 p.m., and Wednesday at Campus Marshes in Detroit and Shane Park in Birmingham, both at 5:30. And finally, officials in the Darfur region of Sudan were proud to tell local media that they seized an Israeli spy in the form of an eagle that the Sudanese alleged was taking photos from the area and transmitting them to Israel. But the eagle was no spy, said Israeli officials. It was a rare bird. It's one of those big golden eagles. I saw a picture of it. That the Parks and Nature Authority is keeping track of as part of a study to ensure the safety of eagles. This adds to the list the vulture in Saudi Arabia, sharks in the Red Sea, spy pigeons and squirrels in Iran, all accused for spying for Israel. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering are the only kosher caterers in Southeast Michigan to offer both dairy and glatt kosher menus. Now offering wedding packages starting at just $40 a person. Think of Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering for your next bar or bat mitzvah. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will take care of all of your tray catering and shiva trays as well. Impressive food and exceptional service will keep you coming back again and again. Milk and Honey and Epic Kosher Catering will cater your event at your favorite location, and on-premise catering is available at Adat Shalom and the JCC. Call today, 248-661-2327. That's 661-2327. And make your affair an affair to remember.
Hirsch Schulfenman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We are online with Joan Nathan. Just came out with a new cookbook, Keisha's Kugels and Cookbook, and Couscous, excuse me. How are you today, Joan?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Thank God. What seems to always impress me when there's another cookbook comes out, and just to let you know, my wife is the cookbook aficionado. We've got cookbooks on pretty much close to every genre, age, era, epic, race, creed, color, and political origin, including the including the Herbert Hoover cookbook. And that's not even a joke. We have the Herbert Hoover cookbook. Okay. So it features recipes for things like possum and squirrel. So the what amazes me is that there, after how many centuries of people writing cookbooks, that there are still cookbooks coming out. In other words, that there's still things that people, it's not like a newspaper. It's just like, we've come up with this like brand new idea of a something over here, because inevitably, if it's being made now, somebody was making it before. So let's hear this is your 10th cookbook.
Right.
What's the impetus behind another cookbook, Joan Nathan?
Well, you know, my cookbooks are not just cookbooks. I feel as if they're term papers. And, you know, I went to Michigan, and I love delving into history, culture, food. And so it's really like a big term paper. And this book really has been in the works for many, many years, because I first went to France when I was a young teenager. My father felt that I had to learn a foreign language, and the best way to do it was to live with a family. So I went to France, where my German Jewish relatives had gone before the war to a town in France called Annecy, a very beautiful town near the Geneva border. And they felt that I should live with a family. I did not live with them. I lived with another family, but I got a sense of French culture. And I remember going to their house for my first real meal in France, and it was, we had a whole array of hors d'oeuvres, you know, salad, all different kinds of salads, and I thought this was the whole meal. And after I ate a lot, the soup came out, the meat came out, and I thought, oh my God, you know, this is fabulous. But I never thought Jewish. And through the years, because nobody talked about their background, it was too close to the war then. It was in the late 50s. So that wasn't so far away from the war.
Right,
and people
still fresh.
Still putting their lives together back, you know? I mean, financially and trying to sort of come to grips with who they were and where they were. Because 83,000 Jews were taken away during World War II in France. That was of the maybe 300,000 Jews living in France. 6,000 of them came back, and the French used the term, they disappeared. They disappeared basically in Auschwitz. But Jews came back to France. They didn't come back to Poland. They didn't come back to Germany. They came back to France, the Jews of France. And that says something about France and the feeling that this is where you belong.
So you really became a Francophile when you were a teenager.
What?
You really became a Francophile when you were a
teenager.
Well,
I did, but I never thought about any of these things, you know, until I was much older. Maybe I had to be older to understand it and know a lot about food and the history of food. So, you know, I went to Israel. I wrote 2 books on Israel. I wrote books on the United States, and then I suddenly realized that there was all this book written on Sephardic Jews in Spain and nothing on France. So I started to, you know, interview people in France going, I mean, listen, it was not a bad assignment. You know, French food is delicious. I went for 4 years. I went back and forth, reading, going to libraries, meeting people. It was just the best assignment. I loved it.
Uh-huh. Our guest is Joan Nathan. She's just come out with a new book. It was released last week. Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous is the name of the book, In Search of French Cuisine. So would you call this, Joan Nathan, then, an ethnography more than a cookbook?
Well, it's both. You know, there are 200 recipes. They're delicious, really wonderful recipes from all over, from North African Jews, from Alsatian Jews, from Jews of Provence, some very old recipes and some very, you know, up-to-date recipes. I mean, I love it. I love cooking from it, and I love the way that Knopf put it together. And, Publishers Weekly last week gave it a rave review, but not only that, picked it as the pick of the week of all books reviewed that week in every category.
Yeah, it is quite an amazing sit-down and read type book, which is what my wife does. She sits down and reads them cover to cover. It doesn't use them as like a compendium. That's, you know, me when I need a recipe, you should pardon me for saying, so I go to Google and just type in what I want to make. And then it's sort of like get 20,000 of the same recipe. I was reading in the introduction, the earlier pages, and I started to laugh because you talk about, I believe it's your cousin, who presented you with a baguette with a dark chocolate bar in it. As something to
eat. I loved it.
I have to tell you.
I still love it.
I did that when I was about 12 years old. And
my
mother, I took a chocolate bar and I stuck it inside of a French roll. And my mother yelled at me like you wouldn't believe. Like, there is no such thing as a chocolate sandwich. And here is, I'm now going to go and I'm going to tell her that it's a haute cuisine. When I think of French food, the first word that comes to mind is the Yiddish word pachke, which means...
Right.
It takes a lot of effort, and you gotta, like, you know, you have to do this reduction and this sauce and this, and it takes 16 hours to make and 4 minutes to consume and 25 hours to clean up after, which really is, it would really turn me off from French cooking. But these don't look like those type of recipes, Joan Nathan.
Well, they're wonderful. I mean, I was just, my latest favorite recipe from the book. I mean, every day I have a different one. But my favorite recipe right now is a babka, a sweet. It was a babka dough.
Mm-hmm.
I went to this French restaurant, and I knew the chef was Jewish. Okay, it was a 2-star restaurant. Not even French. This just shows how hidden Jewishness is in France. Not even the Jewish French most well-known reviewer named Gilles Pudlowski knew that this guy was Jewish. His name was Thierry Marx, 2-star chef in Bordeaux. And I could tell by his food, and he absolutely did not deny he was Jewish. It just didn't come up in France. So he made these little rolls, It's a very expensive restaurant. And I looked and I thought, oh, my God, they're chocolate babka. But why would they have rolls? You know, the French is savory. So it was a sweet dough, and inside of it, that I thought was chocolate, was anchovies and olive tapenade. And they are delicious.
My wife would love it.
Absolutely delicious and so unsuspecting, you know. And he said, well, he was just playing with his Jewishness.
I never knew that the anchovy was Jewish.
This morning I was on a TV show and I made an Alsatian tart. An Alsatian tart, which is an onion tart, but of course it has no ham in it. And with caramelized onions, just delicious.
Right,
understood. Really good. So, and then, you know, wonderful cooked salads. And my favorite is called Salade Juive, which I went, again, to a non-Jewish restaurant. I thought, somebody had said they thought that the chef was Jewish. And I went in there and I said, I heard you were Jewish. And she said, and nobody does that, believe me, in France. And she said, pas du tout. And then I had this caramelized tomato salad. And I said to her, oh, my God, this is so delicious. What's it called? She said, ah, ça c'est la salade juive. That's Jewish salad. I had a Moroccan cook it in the kitchen, and she made that salad, and that's what we serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have
so,
a
lady. So, you know, it just comes up.
I've experienced that. There's an Algerian lady who people, like, come to their house on Friday night just to eat the salad juive. It's like, it's absolutely wonderful. What about, I see you guys talk a little bit about French wines. Wine and kosher has become just like exploded in the last 25 years, and there's zillions of varietals that have graced the shores of America. What did you find with wines in France that might have been kosher, Joan?
Well, that was really an interesting story, okay? Again, it's hard to penetrate the French, even the Jewish French. I mean, think about it. How many times do you get invited to a French house when you go to Paris? So I wanted to learn about kosher wine in France. So I called the Grand Rabbin of France, and I called him, and this guy in Bordeaux, and I dropped names, which people have accused me of doing on occasion. And I said to him that my relative was the president of the Consistoire, which is the way that the Jewish communities are divided in France, in Annecy. And he said, he was from Moroccan, and he said that he had come first to Annecy, and that he, of course, knew my relatives. And at first he said he wouldn't do it. Then when I mentioned that, he said, oh, absolutely, come with me. So I came with him. His name was Claude Maman. And the way that they do this is they take a vintner, a non-Jewish vintner mostly. There are some Jewish vintners too. They go to a chateau, and there's like a middleman, okay? And he says to them, look, because there's no kosher factories like Manischewitz or Hadassah in the United States.
Right.
They're all non-kosher wineries. And what they do is they kosher the wine. They buy a run of kosher wine, so that what they have to do is make the winery kosher for that week or so that they make maybe a process about 3,000 bottles of wine. But they know that they'll all be sold, and so that's what's very, in other words, they'll be pre-sold. So the vintners are very interested in it, and you know, it's a good business deal for them. So they bring in these Lubavitch Mashkiach,
the rabbis,
you know,
yes,
and also this Grand Rabbin has to be there. And
could you say Grand Rabbin in English, please?
Vintner has to be his quality wine, so he has to be there to watch what they're doing. So what happens is these guys go crazy. The reason is, when does the winemaking? It's in October or late September when there's Sukkot and Simchas Torah, and you know, lots of Shabbats, so that they can't. They have to slow the process down. So they put these fake ice cubes in to the wine to stop the fermentation, because you can't stir it
right
during that process because it's Shabbat. It's very, really fascinating.
Okay.
just totally different from what we do here. By the way, they do the same thing for matzah. They're mostly not matzah factory. A matzah factory will have a kosher and a non-kosher run because matzah is considered diet food in France. The French have always liked matzah since the early days since the early days when people were making matzah out of they call it penazim, sort of flat bread, and people eat it. I remember when I was working at the UN, they served matzah, and it was for diets. So that non-Jews love it, and they've been doing it since in Carpentras, which was one of the towns of the Juif du Pape, that where Jews were allowed to live when the other Jews were killed out of France. They in the Carrière, which was the Jewish quarter, they would make matzah, and there was such a run on it from the non-Jews that they made extra matzah for the non-Jews of Carpentras because they loved it. Isn't that interesting?
That's fascinating. I'm really amazed.
And it's all in the book. All these stories are in the book with the wonderful recipes.
Uh-huh. I have somebody who is in the process of koshering their home, and uh-huh. they are French cheese aficionados. And Detroit, we don't get anything much more than pizza cheese and mozzarella. So she was actually wondering about acquiring real, like, blue and Roquefort and Gorgonzola and et cetera, Camembert, and bringing it around. Is there stuff available like that to bring back to the
factory, Nathan? That's another story. That I went to another one of my relatives who's very, very religious in a place called Aix-les-Bains. It's a tiny town near Annecy, actually. And there's a man there who makes kosher cheese. And he was a veterinarian and became religious, and because he's such a good veterinarian, like, he showed me the oldest cow in Alsace. a lot of these farmers like him, and they understand his craziness at wanting milk for cheese, and he learned the cheese-making process, so there's kosher Camembert, there's kosher Tome de Savoie, there's a lot of kosher different kinds of cheese that he's making. And
okay.
I'm sure at this point he's not the only one, but he's one that I wrote about.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay, we'll have to do some research on that one. So you've experienced Shabbos in America, and you've experienced the Shabbos in Israel. Is the Shabbos meals in France much different than in America and Israel?
They are different, actually. It depends on the family, but there's a certain French je ne sais quoi. You know, it's a French style at dinners. The meals are different. You know, they don't have, don't forget, even let's say you're an Eastern European Jew background, okay, and you came to the United States, one part of your family did, and one party went to France. Well, in France, you would have at your Shabbos table, let's say you would have, you're going to do a dairy meal, you'd have a cheesecake, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The cheesecake in France would have regular farmer's cheese the way that it was done in Poland or Russia. It would be crustless. In the United States, you'd have probably a graham cracker crust because of Joseph Kraft, and you'd also, because of Joseph Kraft, have processed Philadelphia cream cheese and maybe sour cream, so that the ingredients are different, and it's more true to what it was like in Eastern Europe. Challahs would be not as sweet in Europe, even at the bakeries. There are many different kinds of challah in France. In my book, I have a Moroccan challah from Casablanca that I found in Bordeaux with anise in it and sesame seeds. I have a Alsatian challah, which is not savory at all, and it has three braids, a three-braided challah with a very thin three-braided challah on top. Let's see, what else do I have? I have a regular French challah, again, that many of the people at a bat mitzvah that I went to called brioche.
Mm-hmm.
They consider, because it's an egg bread. which that's, you know, it doesn't have butter in it, which brioche does, but it has oil in it. And this is a very beautiful one, but again, not as sweet as we would have in the United States because of the sugar companies that infiltrated our food. And then I have another one, a fourth one, which is a very old challah from Carpentras, which is quite fabulous. And it looks like a fougasse or focaccio, but a fougasse with little holes in it. And I found it in a 14th century document where they were talking of two documents, one talking about making a fougasse a Jew would eat it with oil, otherwise you'd be a goy. And the other document saying that on Shavuot, the Jews would, a Jewish person was criticizing the Jews, or maybe mocking them a little bit, for thinking more while they were in synagogue about their fugas with milk and butter than they were thinking about the synagogue.
I can relate to that, yes.
Shavuot, you would have milk and butter in it rather than oil and water.
Mm-hmm.
In this bread. And then I went to what I sometimes do when I'm writing a book is go to the exact town that people were talking about this in and looking around. And there I found flatbread with holes in it. Oh, and he said that the one around Shavuot, the one with the milk and the cream, had also cherries embedded in it. And there, it was a different time of year, there they were embedded with olives and with rosemary. And I realized it's the same dough.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Fascinating.
So it's really interesting doing this kind of research.
I believe it. I'm looking at a picture of Inspector Clouseau sitting at a desk, and the title reads "Policeman's Lasagna." Now, the word lasagna is not French. I know that, but what it tells the story about the policeman's lasagna.
Oh, well, that's a great story. I went to Auch, which is a town in the southwest of France. And I was staying with non-Jews that I actually, they have a farm, and I wanted to stay with them because I wanted to see what it was like being hidden during the war with a family.
Oh, that's a fascinating idea.
And this woman had hidden, not Jews, but she'd hidden people from the Spanish resistance. And I wanted to find out. I just thought it would be really interesting, and it was. Anyway, so they said they knew a Jew. He was a Jewish policeman. So I went to this guy's house, to the police station, and he said to me, I wasn't born a Jew. He said that he was from a policeman family, and during the war, his grandfather, the police said to his grandfather, we're going to get some Jews. And his grandfather smelled a skunk and went underground for the whole war because he knew that they would think that he was a traitor. He did not want to round up Jews. And then this man, the grandson, studied Hebrew. He went to police academy. For some reason, he decided to study Hebrew and Greek. And he read the Bible in the different languages, and he realized that the true meaning of Judaism was not in these languages, but was in Hebrew. So he converted at 32, and makes his challah. His wife, she's not converted, but his children are being bar mitzvahed, and he lives in this little town. He goes 2 hours away to another town where there's kosher butcher, and he brings the children to there for religious school. And so, but he really missed lasagna. I mean, it's not French, but French is just like Americans. It's not
right.
American, but we love.
I bet
lasagna.
They eat pizza in France,
so he
too. Yes.
He'd start making a bechamel sauce, which is what the French made with their lasagna, with soy milk. And so that's what he does. He doesn't use butter. He uses oil, and he's got but he has meat in it, which is what, you know. So that was the one dish he missed, and he made it into a kosher dish.
Terrific. Our guest has been Joan Nathan. This is her 10th cookbook, Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous. It is published by Knopf. It is just now freshly released as of last week. It hit the stores. You're going to be coming to Detroit to be talking about your book at the book fair?
I'm going to be there on Tuesday at the Jewish book fair at a luncheon. So,
Are you perhaps preparing the luncheon?
No, but I'll be eating it. Hopefully, they'll be having food for my book, and then I'll be in Ann Arbor on on Monday at the Jewish Book Fair as well.
You're going back and forth, or are you staying the whole week in Detroit?
No, I'm just going to be, I guess, two nights.
Okay. Fair enough. I'd invite you for Shabbos.
Maybe one night. I never know.
I would invite you for Shabbos.
This is Monday. It's Ann Arbor.
Right. Gotcha. I understand. You'd be here for Shabbos. I'd invite you. And then.
I'd love to. Another time.
Another time. Okay. And you have a website, correct?
I do. JoanNathan.com.
JoanNathan.com. We're going to wish you lots of success and keep us apprised of future Joan Nathan endeavors.
Well, thank you, and Shavua Tov, a bun semen.
Okay, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. It is Hanukkah. Got a PSA for you. This coming Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Berman Center at the JCC, the inimitable Lipa will be giving a concert in honor of Yachad Detroit. It's an organization that takes care of special needs children. For more information, call the Berman Center at 248-661-1000. We got some Hanukkah music for you. This is the Klezmatics doing Woody Guthrie's Hanukkah, is the name of the CD. And this one's called Hanukkah Geld, which is given usually, or supposed to be, instead of gifts, just a couple of coins to the kids.
Love me again, hug me.
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. There is some new music coming up. One of them, actually, a piece we're going to play next week, actually bemoans and decries the fact that it's a parody, of course, that when you go into a mall, you don't hear Hanukkah music at this time of year. So, but that's next week. This is 613 a cappella. This is called the Hanukkah Melody. And it, of course, as its name implies, is a melody of Hanukkah songs.
I was hanging with my middle, eating gelt and spinning up some dreidel. Try to win, but I was not so nimble. I got the nuns and she got all the gimbals. It was my osur that I was hearing as my coins continued disappearing. Suddenly my nose starts to twitching from the aroma coming from the kitchen. So we're playing this game just like I told ya, by the light of the Hanukkah menorah. We had to finish the round, I couldn't wait though. I knew my mom was frying a potato. They were like as fresh and delicious. My girl got up and I got suspicious. She said, relax now, don't be a hater. I'm just gonna help her put away the grater.
Even night we lit the lights like Maccabees of days of old. But I can't believe my girl has got a stove. All my Hanukkah latkes. How could she eat those latkes? All my Hanukkah latkes.
Excuse me if I'm learning this too fast. I get so excited thinking now you got that on the last. The candles dancing down, burning low, low, low. It's a Hanukkah tradition that is never getting old. Oh, it's not a fire hazard, just a healthy Jewish glow. Let the lights left to right, it's Ufgani.
Baby, I like it.
That's my rabbi, the man who gave the Torah at NCSY. I spun a dreidel like a thousand times, and I got some guilt so good, now I'm flying high. With all my friends at the Shabbat tone, singing Spiro so loud, everyone knows that it's on. Wish I could do this every day, and soon Summer Cola and TJJ saying, what's your chapter, what's your region? While other people singing, tis the season. We feeling warm while the weather gets colder, cause we getting presents eight times over. 613, get to New York.
typical. We light the candles and we celebrate the miracles. So hot some air, hot they reach from NCSY and 613.
Baby, I like it. The fun of coming over. Baby, I like it. The candles on my car to keep you.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. This is Sam Glazer. These nebulous titles, I mean, you know, so just kind of like don't exactly say what they're all about, but if you could compose an anthem, something like you would like want to stand up and sing, well, Sam Glazer has done that. This is called the Hanukkah Anthem.
Thank you for the freedom, for the right to live our lives. Thank you for our children who keep our hopes alive. Thank you for the miracles you give us every day. Thank you for faithful friends who stand by us.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. It is Hanukkah. If you ask anybody in the street, how do you light Hanukkah candles, they're going to say the first night light one, the second night light you two, the third night you light three. It is a very unusual thing, actually, that people would answer that. And I'll tell you why. The reason being is that the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles is to light one candle each night. If you'd like to do it nicer, then everybody in the house should light one candle. But nobody's ever heard of this way of doing Hanukkah candles. It's the only mitzvah which is done in the absolute, absolute nicest way. And we do it in such a way that we're specifically doing it 1, 2, 3, 4. As the expression according to Beis Hillel, the school of philosophy that instituted this, is in because we need to increase the light. The lights of Hanukkah are supposed to reach to the outside, as the command is to light them by your doorways or your windows, to facing the outside so that people should see that there should be a publicizing of the miracle, to even affect the darkness. To somebody who's called a Tarmidoi, which has the word Tarmidoi is a type of a people, but it has the same letters as the word Moridim, which means people who rebel against God, to even affect that they should understand the self-sacrifice involved for the keeping of all of the commandments. That's really the essence of what Hanukkah is all about. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Well, the way to do that is go to my website, www.rabbifinman.com. You'll find archived editions of the show. You'll find the Hasidic U Parsha and the Hasidic U Story and the E Parsha, which are insights into the portion of the week, holiday time around now, stories. You'll be able to contact me. And, of course, the very important donations page. It's the end of the year. People are thinking about IRS. Don't think about the IRS. Think about giving to charity. The more you give to charity, the less you give to the IRS. Who do you want to give to? The Jewish Hour is part of a 501(c) corporation. We are tax deductible. The federal government will love you for doing it. Your mother will love you for it. God will love you for it.
I'll love you for it. And all the listeners of the Jewish Hour, now in 17 years of on-air serving the Jewish community, will be able to continue with your generosity. So go to the computer. Don't like using computers and credit cards? No problem. Send your donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. 1777. George Washington and his troops were stationed at Valley Forge. It was the winter. It was freezing cold over there. You know the story, yada, yada, yada. They didn't have enough food. They didn't have enough anything. Washington's like walking around one night, and he sees this person, this soldier. And he's got this thing. He's got these candles going. He says, officer, young man. The guy is stabbed to attention. Says, what's with the candles? So the soldier began explaining to him that is a Jewish holiday celebrating, commencing the victory of the small Jewish army that was outnumbered and outmaneuvered and outweaponed and the whole business, and they didn't give up hope, and they were able to conquer their victors. And they explained to him about how they went into the temple and they found the whole place a mess and everything had been defiled, and they managed to find the one jar of oil, and it was enough to burn for one day, and it burned for 8 days, and this whole entire miracle. Washington said, this is incredible. You are the Jew, a member of the nations of prophets. I take what you to say to me to be a sign from the Almighty. The next day, Washington led a track from Valley Forge. He was victorious in land. Here we are today in America. Many years passed, and Washington was elected president of the United States. This young man went back to New York or Boston, depending on who you ask, and went back to private life. One day, he's sitting in his house, and he gets a knock at the door, and there are two very official-looking people there. He doesn't know what's going on. So they said to you, are you so-and-so? It's too bad we don't have the name of the soldier for verification purposes. So they presented him with a box and said, here, this is for you. So the soldier looked at them, and he opened it up, and it was a medallion, and which was engraved a picture of the menorah with the words, with admiration from George Washington. One of the visitors then handed him a letter, and he said, my dear friend, you don't know what you accomplished that night at Valley Forge. I couldn't sleep that night because I was sure there was no chance of winning. We lacked ammunition. We were outnumbered 10-1. We didn't have food or bedding for the soldiers. When I saw those boys lying sleeping in the freezing cold under those blankets, those thin blankets, it took away my resolve. I made up my mind then and there to surrender. But your lights and your words changed all that. If it wasn't for you and your menorah, I don't know if we'd be standing here today as free men. So we decided to present this medallion to you as a testimonial to that night, which was turning point of the struggle for freedom. Sincerely yours, President George Washington. Pretty incredible stuff. That's going to do it for today. Glad you tuned in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have an awesome Hanukkah. Don't forget about the Hanukkah menorah lightings around town. We got Monday night, tomorrow night, down at Wayne, right in the middle of campus, 7 o'clock. Tuesday night, Orchard Mall on Orchard Lake and Maple. That's an indoor. And that's 6 o'clock, I want to say, and then at 5:30 down at Shane Park in Birmingham and in Campus Marshes. Those are both outdoors. Have a great Hanukkah. We'll see you next week. So we'll make more Hanukkah.